This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network. AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
What's up? Welcome to the show! Welcome to AfterBuzz TV! Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Walking Dead panel on this lovely Sunday night.
Were there just explosions in my ears?
It sounded like we got some explosions that went off.
I mean, you came in mega high energy today.
You did.
So.
I was impressed.
So I do on my action movie show every week, they open up with an explosion sound. So maybe somebody got to miss the memo that that wasn't that show. Because we're always like,
but it works.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it.
Especially for this episode.
This was an explosive episode. Explosive.
It was.
If by explosive you mean murder.
Never do that.
Anyway, this is AfterBuzz TV, and this is the Walking Dead After Show on Sunday night. And I am Ben Bateman, and these are my co-hosts. Actually,
hello.
Our social media correspondent is back in the host chair this week.
Yes, I am. How you doing, everybody? I'm glad to be your social media correspondent for the evening.
Yeah, Mr. Daryl.
Computer
Kristen.
Ready. Daryl Kristen in the house here.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, John Carl. The John Carl. Yep. I'm
Mr.
here.
Mr. John Carl.
Yep. And we're in the chat today. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
We are.
Posting as Whiskey and Waffles because I want more subscribers.
Oh, I like it.
I'm sneaky like that.
Yeah, the clandestine deploy for the subscribers. Way to go.
Yep.
All right, guys, so this is episode 13 of season 6, titled The Same Boat. We got a lot of Alicia Witt, the devious redhead in this episode, who she only just got the one episode arc.
Mm-hmm. Right?
She did.
Yes,
yep.
Spoiler alert.
Well, this was like the girl power.
Well, if you're watching this, the episode can't be spoiled for you at this point.
Yeah,
so.
It's true. It's true.
It was girl power episode.
Yeah.
For sure.
So before we start talking about this episode, I should remind everybody that we are, in fact, on YouTube. We are on SoundCloud. We have a YouTube channel that you're probably watching live right now. You might be listening to it, but rate, subscribe, like, all of it helps us stay high in the standings so we can keep doing the show.
We hit a big moment last week. We've crossed 200,000 subscribers on the AfterBuzz YouTube channel. So
that's amazing. Yep. That's a huge
one. So congrats to all the shows on AfterBuzz for doing that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. And, I mean, that's just on YouTube. I mean, the iTunes thing with the audio. I forget sometimes how many people listen on audio. You know what I mean? We do this as a video show, and we like use our hands, and we're very emotive. But sometimes we'll reference things, and people don't
and
even
we
know
forget
what's going
we're
on.
We forget we're radio.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have to reference also because Patrick Glenville on the chat asked if there was any ladies tonight, and Joyce is not here tonight, unfortunately. But hopefully she'll be joining us next week. So
yeah, there was little scheduling snafu, time change and stuff. But we'll get it worked out for people.
We'll get it worked out.
Yes, exactly. We'll have a very full panel the last few weeks.
Yes,
we have a few weeks left. Only have 3 weeks left, guys.
3 weeks.
Only three. I'm so bummed. All right, well, let's talk about the episode, guys. Let's start out with a section I'm going to call Carol the Chameleon.
Yes.
No, never do that either?
No.
All right.
You're
striking
just killing
out.
It today.
No, Carol, what a cool character, right?
Yep.
She's amazing.
I mean, she honestly is becoming my favorite character on the show. I mean, she's, if you just look at the history of her on Walking Dead throughout the seasons, her arc is just, and her peak is just spectacular. I mean, honestly, you just never know what you're going to get, and the way she played it tonight was just very well played.
Right.
Yeah, and she's done this multiple times before. I mean, when they first got to Alexandria, she was, you know, the making cookies and everything like that, and it lulled everybody into that false sense of security. And the thing that we don't really touch on is she isn't just making up that character. She right. just takes herself back to when she was a battered wife, and she remembers how helpless and how weak she was then.
Yeah.
And she just brings herself back to that moment, which is why she's so believable when she does it.
Yeah, when you think about all the transitions she's gone through as a character, this is the question I have. I wonder if when Kirkman was developing the show with AMC and he was thinking to himself, okay, like the character Carol, because in the comics we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. there is a character, Carol. She's just a little different. I wonder if he was thinking like...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Like, okay. She's also been dead for a long time.
Yeah, wait, but like it's one of those things where they character shift. So her character in the comics is nothing like the character in the... Mm-hmm. I think at the beginning it was, but
yep,
they moved it around. So the point is, I just wonder if they were like, we want to evolve this character and develop this character over the course of these seasons to have this full character arc. Kind of the way that Rick has, that I think they had a bit more of that in mind, because that's more consistent with his character as it was from the source material.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just gone through so many changes. When you think about the first time... when she drugged those people, Tyrese's girlfriend, right? Like the infected people when they're in the prison.
Yep.
She drugged them out. She burned them alive.
Yep.
Right? And like, you think about it, Rick leaves her out there. She's forgiven. She has to kill
The little girl.
The little girl. Yeah. Right? She has to kill. And then, mm-hmm. and now when you think about what she's gone through, she was going through like a bit of this journey where she was sort of remembering what it was like to be a normal person that didn't have to just murder people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so her performance in this episode wasn't entirely an act, I didn't think. Mm-hmm. She's going through
it. It was 50-50, I felt.
Yeah,
great performance.
Yeah, and then kind of going back to your question about her character in the arc and with Kirkman, if you go back to maybe the first or second season of Walking Dead After Show, we interview Melissa McBride, who plays Carol on the show, and she actually talks about how her character developed and how she became more of a fan favorite per se, but initially she was not supposed to last more than a couple seasons, but just because of the fans' reaction to her character and the writing, it just was very well done, and she was able to continue to grow the character more.
Yeah, I think that's one of the advantages of the show having such short seasons and going through the half season arcs is they're able to pivot. So all of a sudden they started to realize this character had a groundswell of support underneath her, and rather than taking her out, they're like, no, let's evolve her and make her more interesting and make her be somebody who can last the six seasons of this entire show, versus let's just have her be a meat bag that gets eaten like everybody else ended up.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. I'm sort of watching Carol and I'm thinking to myself, we talked about whose show this is at one point. Somebody said this was supposed to be Carl's show and who is the least killable character. Carol consistently feels to me like she's the most interesting character. She's the character whose story I honestly care about the most. And I think she almost feels... I mean, Rick is less killable than Carol, but she might be just the solid number two now.
I agree. Right. I mean, and the way she plays it, just, the turning it on and off, even when she was doing it tonight, I really, at first... honestly was thinking like maybe she really is having some type of breakdown.
Yep.
And then it's just something kind of clicked, and I was, especially with the rosary and just the way it was all set up, I started thinking, you know what, she's playing a game.
When she says, are you gonna kill me?
She's good. Yeah,
she says, I hope not. Yeah, so you knew it was, but it wasn't entirely an act, because she's tearing up when she's holding the gun.
She doesn't want to kill people, and so when she says I hope not, I think she truly believes it, but knowing full well she's gonna be the one that has to.
Yeah. Talk about I want to just touch on just the subject of murder in this show a little later in the episode. I want to really focus on that before we get off Carol. But that last scene, we'll call it an Easter egg, a burning Easter egg, out of nowhere, right? You're like, oh, okay, this episode's already been pretty brutal. We've seen this before in Walking Dead, and then it's just like, nope, it's going to burn some people alive. Just
there's killing somebody in a defensive manner, which I think was, when she killed the one girl by shooting her in the head, but then that's like preempted cold-blooded. Like, yeah. That's the equivalent of stabbing somebody in the head as they're sleeping.
Seriously.
And I don't disagree with them doing it because of the whole situation.
Of course.
But at the same time, it's like, no, you... that. Like, if you were to put this on trial, that's, like, first degree.
Yeah, it's a question I've actually asked on the Fear the Walking Dead panel before, just because that's such the early stages of the outbreak, and people are just coming to terms with, like, who do you protect and all that. But one of the questions I always wonder about when you have a group like Rick's group, and they're all so close to each other, and they take care of each other, it's supposed to have a bit of a family feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
If the world is crazy, and you're being eaten by zombies, and murdered by people on the street, and you're trying to eat, you're trying to survive, it truly becomes survival of the fittest. You take it back to when it all starts and everybody's, you know, losing their families. These stories that a lot of these characters tell throughout the shows. You know, this is when my family was trampled by people in a train station or so and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you're in that situation, who do you really save? Who really is an essential person for you to save above yourself when it really comes down to it? Like, do you trust they would save you? I mean, let's just pretend you're a married person with several children.
Right.
In theory, you would save your significant other and your children ahead of yourself.
Yes. After that, then it comes to doing everything you can, and this is where I come across as the heartless asshole. It comes to saving everybody that is within reason that isn't going to cost you your own life at that point, except for your family and your kids. Those are the ones that you put yourself in front of.
But those people that you're thinking wouldn't cost your own life, like, you wonder if nobody's going to apply even logic in the situation when you're being chased by walkers, or like somebody wants to kill one of you. Somebody's like, I'm gonna kill one of you. What's gonna happen?
I mean, if you know, stuff fell apart while we were recording the show and it comes down to us running out of here, Ben, I'm tripping you. I'm sorry.
Now we know the truth.
Yeah,
I'm the first one that's gonna get sacrificed because I publicly put it out there that I would trip you guys.
Jonathan, lock the door. Lock the door right now.
Please.
Yeah, I know. I think it's super fascinating. And the more brutal the show gets as we get into these later seasons where something like that happens,
I wouldn't let you on fire, though.
You wouldn't burn
I would not burn you to death.
Burn him alive, you wouldn't do that?
Impossible. No. We're locked in the room now anyway. Neither of us are getting out.
I also don't have a gas can.
So dark. All right.
This is what happens when we don't have a girl on the panel.
I know, right? Yeah, we're deviating. So let's step off of Carol for a second, because she'll come back, obviously, because she's a total badass. But speaking of badass women, we have a whole group reminiscent of some of the women in Mad Max, right?
Yeah.
What were they called? In Fury Road, the badass biker bitches or something?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
If you know on the feed, let us know and we will.
Yeah, who are the girls in Mad Max?
The Last Mothers, maybe that's what they were called? Something, the bikers. Anyway, badasses. But that's what I immediately thought of. Like, the one woman whose name I have written down here is
Malls.
Malls, she's the one who's
coughing up blood.
Yeah, coughing up blood.
She definitely had lung cancer.
Yeah, that's a good guess, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Alicia Witt, out of nowhere. Alicia Witt, whose, like, career just... I feel like the mid-2000s was kind of, like, her thing. She seemed like she was going to have a big career. She's had a big career.
Yeah, but she's been in a lot of things.
As a TV actor, largely. She's, you know, she's got three episodes of X or two episodes of Y and all these, like... You know, she was in an episode of Sopranos when it was peaking, right? She had she was in 88 Minutes with Al Pacino at one point. I just remember all these movies and all these shows, and then here she is. I mean, I guess this is still a huge project.
Well, it was also very interesting. If you notice, or maybe it's just me thinking about this, but the correlation of the two women who were, you know, part of Negan's group, and then, of course, Carol and Maggie, like, with Alicia Witt's character, she was very similar to... Carol, you know, in a lot of ways. She could relate to her in a lot of ways. She felt like, you know, she did the monologue about how she was the secretary, lost her husband and kids, and how she was kind of meek and became this more powerful type of mentality. And even the same with Maggie, with the character, because we were joking at one point saying, is she looks so much like Maggie. She was
Maggie's
like
twin.
Maggie's twin, you know? Yep. So it's like, did they obviously do that on purpose, I guess, to correlate the two characters or the four characters together to show the difference of the two squads, but to really emphasize how similar they really were in a lot of ways.
She reminded me, if you combine Maggie with Tara.
Mm-hmm.
That was the descriptor for that girl for me, was Maggie combined with Tara.
I thought it was really interesting when she was giving her monologue about her boss. There was definitely this tone, the way she was delivering it, talking about her boss, where I was like, okay, cheap television here. She's going to talk about how her boss tried to rape her. That's what's going to happen. She's going to go there, and she killed him, and she got out of it.
Yeah.
And they skipped it, which was awesome, because it's like, it's just a throwaway thing.
Yeah, they took away the cheap pop, which they didn't need to do,
exactly.
Which I was happy about.
She's a pretty woman, right? It's like, oh, it's a weak guy, and they're trapped in a room. You're thinking, okay, that's like immediately where you go with it. I thought that was great that she was just like, he was just weak, so I killed him.
Yeah.
Straight up. Like, nothing happened. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'll talk about my husband and my kids and my weak boss who I poured coffee for, and I murdered him because he was dead weight.
Because he was
right. That's it.
Like, and then that damn email made her, it was like, oh yeah, you want to be the coffee. She's like, I don't ever want to be the coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably one of the more awesome deaths in a while. I mean, I think it'd be really interesting if one of the episodes we did a project together where we all got together and we did, okay, what's like the top 50 deaths in Walking Dead? We ranked them. It'd be a hard thing to do if we watch a lot of episodes, but like, this has got to rank, at least in top 20. That's a sweet death. Thrown around, stabbed through with like some sort of
and then your face
shaft.
Instantly bit. Yeah.
And then instantly your face is being torn, but you're like stuck on the rod.
Yeah,
so
it's
you
kind
can't...
of reminiscent of Jay Hughley, his death, you know, the first half of the season when he died on the fence.
He had a good one.
His face was eaten and that kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for her, but then there was also so many opportunities for Carol to kill her.
Yeah, it shouldn't have gotten to that point.
It shouldn't have got to that point.
Like,
you know,
and Carol let her get too close when she was holding a gun on her, and Carol was the one walking towards her. It wasn't like she was approaching. Like that, it's weird because Carol does so many very smart things, and then a little bit of her heart still comes out, and she's like, "You could just stop. You could just stop."
Right,
and that's where she's putting herself at risk, and ultimately, and I'll keep specifics on it, like spoiler free, but I do think she's gonna bite it at the end of the season.
Carol?
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like she's starting to become so concerned about certain things and like weaknesses are popping up on her.
I agree.
In spite of all of her strength.
I think that's also what they were trying to do today too, is show a little bit of the fall.
Yeah.
You know, and it was definitely relevant in the episode today.
Yeah. Counting the kills and stuff too. Yeah.
Nick Gudry, if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, I'm sorry. I'm trying to pronounce it based off the spelling, but he said that he's talking about Dirty Maggie. That's the opposite of Lauren.
Oh, Dirty
Cohen.
Maggie?
He called her Dirty Maggie.
She looked a little, you know, she had a little.
Because we never got her name on the episode. Right? Or did we?
We did. I thought. Well, okay. At one point, who was it? Paula? Donna? Paula is Alicia Witt.
Yep.
And who was
Donnie? Was the guy
and the woman? The lung cancer
hacking one was Malls. So Molly.
Yeah, Molly.
At one point, Malls refers to Maggie, I think, and says, "Magnolia, where are you?"
Yes.
So, are we thinking that it's possible that Michelle Rodriguez's version of Maggie is Magnolia?
We didn't know if she was referring, because I guess Maggie, well, she knew Maggie's name, so I didn't know if she was referring
to
Maggie.
That's what I thought she was saying, Magnolia.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like they wouldn't keep the name so close, but you know, I don't know. If someone, you know, knows, let us know on the feed right now.
And that was the other thing I was going to mention. I think she had like a birthmark on her face somewhere, right?
I immediately
thought of Michelle Rodriguez, because I feel like...
Apparently her name was Shell.
Oh, okay.
Shell.
Oh, gotcha. Cool.
Yeah. Or according to GB and F, her name was Shell.
Yeah.
And Tanya.
And Tanya.
R.
Okay.
And
yep.
Tanya
they
R.
definitely... It was Shell. And we missed it.
Oh, Talking Dead. That's why.
Okay. They said
got
on Talking
it.
Dead.
Got yep,
it.
Got
Thank
it.
You for that clarity. We needed that.
Yeah. So I mean, that's an interesting prediction. You know, last week when we asked the fans who's going to die, a lot of people said Carol.
They did.
Which was really
I thought
still
they were setting it up
it.
Today. You know, honestly, the way it was dragged out with the characters, I really thought that Carol was what might go down, especially with her and Paula, and the way, you know, Paula had the gun. Carol could have shot her many times, and then she didn't. And then when they were scuffling and fighting, I really thought at one point, was it going to be Carol who got thrown into the spears? You know, and
they wouldn't have killed her right there. I don't think so.
What a great ending that would have been today, though, because it would have been unexpected, kind of. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, but it would have been like unceremonious. I mean, I think what might happen is they have to resolve this arc that Carol's in the middle of right now. That's the thing. Is like,
yeah,
true.
They're showing weakness, because the fact that she hesitated to kill Alicia Witt means that she truly is struggling with the fact that she was getting pulled kind of back into this domesticated lifestyle of living again.
Yep.
And she didn't want to kill, and she wanted to live behind walls, and she was like, I'm done with this. I'm so tired. She hesitated and almost got her killed.
Mm-hmm.
Either she'll die, or she has to suffer an extremely traumatic event to swing her back into the direction again. And that event might be watching someone she loves beaten to death with a baseball bat.
I still think she needs to have some resolution with Morgan. Like, that's the big thing that needs to happen.
Maybe she kills Morgan.
Damn, that's extreme. I was thinking Morgan was going to see her die, and that's what finally sets Morgan off the deep end. But
I hope that does not happen.
No,
if they kill Carol, it's like, that's... You're losing a really, really difficult to replace piece of what makes this show great. Who can really step into that role and become as satisfying of a character as Carol?
I would say Maggie, honestly.
But, yeah.
Maggie's beautiful. Carol's a middle... I mean, not to say Carol's not beautiful.
Wow, you're
right,
about
watch
to get
yourself
some hate.
Right now.
And
watch yourself.
Enter, go.
Let me explain myself. I'm saying Maggie is like the idea of like the leading woman ingenue. She's like a beautiful woman. She's the girl with her shirt off in Van Wilder 2. Carol is a middle-aged woman.
Is she?
Yeah.
I have to go back and now watch Van Wilder.
Now we know what John's doing after this.
My point is, Carol,
that's on Netflix, right?
Is, Carol's against type for the kind of role she has in this show. She's, like I said, she's a middle-aged woman. She's probably my favorite character on the whole show.
Yeah.
Ahead of, you know, your white leading male who kills people, ahead of your beautiful woman ingenue, like all of your standard stereotypes in shows like this, she stands above most of them, which is why I'm saying I think killing her, you can't slide another character easily into that role. There's not somebody else who just fills Carol's shoes. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at. I don't think they're going to mess with that. Yes. Am I getting a lot of hate?
You are, Ben. Ben didn't mean what he said. He cleared it up, you know. So, Pamela, we're working with Ben still. He didn't mean it.
Banging my head.
And Gimme Shelter is also not happy with you.
Sorry, guys.
All women are beautiful no matter what shape, sizes, or age they are. That's what you meant to say, Ben.
I explained myself exactly what I meant to say. Yeah, exactly what I meant to say. There was a hashtag.
I'm happy I'm on the other camera this week.
Excellent stuff.
That's why you're always so happy when you're on the couch.
Exactly.
You're separated.
I'm separated from the group, right.
Where do we think that this group of badass chicks, like, where do we think that they stand in Negan's camp? Or were they, like, where do you think that they were an integral part of, like, the security force? Do you think that they were, like, I got some sense that they weren't entirely in good standing with the group, right?
They made a really interesting comment where, it was, you stay alive, you produce for us.
Right.
So is that, you know, kind of taking that Mad Max mentality of, like, in the apocalypse, women are just good for breeding and stuff like that.
Sure.
So, like, was that the comment that she was alluding to? But it was also really interesting because she mentioned, you know, Donnie's just a warm body. And it's, you know, is it kind of like a sexual hierarchy that they're sleeping their way up a food chain to get better treatment, too?
Yeah, she said he's just a warm body to me. Like, yeah. So was that supposed to suggest that she had something going with Donnie?
Right? Absolutely. I think it was basically showing the power of the women in the group. You know, it was taking away his masculinity in the way that a lot of times women are portrayed by men. You know, mm-hmm. So it was showing their power in this group. But you still saw the fact that Donnie sort of he disrespected her.
Oh,
she
completely
chalked it up to, oh, he was because of his injury being shot. But
she also did nothing to help him at that point either.
She did not.
Right. Like, she wasn't on the walkie being like, hey, you know, help us get him out, help us get him out. It was really just like, okay, you cross that line, and like I said, I could kill you in your sleep.
Yeah.
Her apathy to him and not doing anything literally did that.
Yeah.
Hats off to the writers, I suppose, if they step away from, again, and this is, I won't, like, really get too far into it, but, like, the comic books, there's not really, like, a big part of it that's, like, the strong group of female characters in Negan's camp.
No, let's throw up a spoiler warning
to be safe.
I'll word this in a way that is avoiding spoilers in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah, major spoilers we'll get to at the end of the show, but, like, just quickly, in case you want to just tune out for 30 seconds.
Yeah, so in the comic, the women are very repressed in the Saviors. They also, in the comics, don't use the whole "we are Negan" thing either. So I like the idea that it is diverting somewhat, even if it's just in the way that Negan is perceived and everything like that, and how people are treated too.
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to say. It's like, as you said, the women are repressed. I mean, they're very, like, in a very predictable way with, like, male characters. They're very sexualized, mm-hmm. and they're
very much
objectified. Not entirely. Like, Negan does have some sort of a policy with that, but, like, they are kind of objectified. And so to see these women, like, these characters, these female characters that are just wreaking havoc.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were all killed by other female characters.
Right.
That's the other thing that's cool about this episode is that, like, they were badasses. They stood up for themselves. You know, they were handling things.
Yep.
And then two other women killed them.
So there was only one male killing male moment of the entire episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. What do you guys think about how Rick and the camp are handling this? Like, do we think that they really truly were waiting outside the whole time? Like, they were just waiting? Like,
I think they were tracking. I think they were scoping the place out. I don't think it was a moment of, like, you know, we're going to stalk outside. They just started hearing stuff go down, and that was when they were able to strike. But I think they were just trying to be calculated, because you can't run in there guns blazing, because, let's be honest, if that door moved differently, Glenn could have shot Maggie in the face by accident. So, you know, they have to be calculated with how they go in it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I love the kill room scene. I mean, that just
unbelievable.
Was...
Well, I loved when they were pulling them in there in the first place, like, you know, and you're seeing it from their perspective under the hood, and you saw really quickly kill room on the floor, and I wrote that down in my notes. I'm like, oh, this is definitely coming back. Like, this is the gun in the first act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought one of the more hilarious lines in the episode, the character we were talking about, Nels was the character we were talking about? The reverse Maggie. We just got her name.
Shell,
that's what it was. She has a line she says when she's interrogating Maggie that if taken out of context would be like the most hilarious line I've ever heard. She says, "You got nice clothes, time to make babies." Can you imagine like taking that line out of context? You walk up to someone at a bar. You got nice clothes, time to make babies.
Right, yeah. Right?
It doesn't work.
Yeah, no, I don't think it works for me.
Yeah. No, it was a bad thing. I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you guys this, too. Did you feel that the entire time that Carol was completely confident that she and Maggie were going to get out of this situation? Because she basically kept telling the character of Paula that, you know, we have to finish this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She kept warning her, you know, mm-hmm. basically saying, listen, we need to settle this because you're going to die, you know, and... irony is that she did mm-hmm. kill her at the end. You know?
I think that Carol did not think she was getting out of it, but she was willing to give her own life to make sure that Maggie and the baby got out.
Yeah,
I got the same feeling. And actually, that's what I was saying with the hesitation on Carol's part. I really thought that a lot of... You said, Daryl, 50% earlier. Yeah. I think it might have been 50% of her, the way she was reacting this whole episode, mm-hmm. was out of fear. I think Maggie has a line at the end. She's just said, I'm done, I'm tired. I think it's what she says when she's hugging Glenn. I think a lot of these characters are just feeling that level of exhaustion. Like, we're just murdering people now. To stay alive, we're just killing people. I've killed, I've killed 18, maybe 20 people.
It was 18 was her checklist that she had from last episode where she was writing it down, where she killed people and everything. And then it was two more from the women that she killed in this episode.
Yeah.
And then the three guys after. So her number's up to 23 now.
That's like we have the Carol death checklist.
I like that.
Well, because she said it was 18.
She did say 18.
Whacked two more, acknowledged it, and then she lit the fire, and there were three guys that walked in that room. So
I feel like we probably just need to tweet that out right now.
Let's go for it. And there was also the question there was on the chat here, was did Maggie lose the baby when she got stabbed? But I don't think it ever touched flesh.
No.
It just was... It was just close call, and it was just her clothing. That's what it appeared to be.
Now, a few weeks back, we had Stephen Lemieux, the executive producer of Popcorn Talk, and I think a former host of this panel, on the panel, and his prediction was that Judith was going to... That was like... She was going to get beaten to death. I think... Were you not on that episode?
I missed that episode.
I was on that episode.
I watched it, but I missed that.
Strange prediction. He caught some flack for it.
That was not a happy reaction in the comments.
Is it possible... I don't think that's going to happen. Is it possible Maggie loses the baby? That's the real, like, possible question. It would deviate from... what we expect.
It could happen. I mean, especially with the, you know, they keep obviously talking about the baby, which they will, but I mean, it's just a lot of references to it. And even this episode was heavily on, why are you having a baby during this, you know, this situation that's happening in the world, you mm-hmm. know? So I think it's a possibility, you know? It's something that could happen.
So, all right, they have described Negan's people and the Saviors as very capable and well organized and well trained. And we've seen some of their.
I mean, they have military codes for the stuff that they're saying. Like, I wrote it down, but it was like
Omega Omega Saviors down.
Yeah. Omega Omega Gamma Code Fire Saviors down.
Alpha channels down.
Yeah. So I mean, there's definitely a leadership structure to what they're doing.
So thus far in interactions with the Saviors and those Saviors characters, we have lost zero members of the Alexandria community, right?
Yeah.
And
which makes me think a bloodbath is coming.
And they've killed, I want to say, easily like 30 people, right?
So you had, how many bikers were there?
Probably seven, maybe?
I would think
Between five and seven. Not looking up off the top of my head.
If anybody on the chat actually knows the exact number here.
Yeah. We have to imagine there was probably close to 20 people in the forward base.
Seemed like it, yeah.
And then this group was an additional
five
plus, or was four? Is it four
Paula,
plus?
Paula, Shell,
Malls,
Donnie.
Oh, Twin Tara. Twin Maggie.
That was Shell.
Oh, Shell, sorry. I'm losing my mind today. And then the three guys after, and then, of course, Primo.
Jeez.
Yeah, so it's been at least 30.
So you're approaching possibly getting into the 30s, getting near 40.
I'd imagine we're over 30 at this point from that base, yeah.
And we have lost zero members of our community.
It's going to be a bloodbath. There's no way it's not.
So how many people do we think in this story that the Negan camp and the Saviors has? I mean, how many people like exist? Like, what are we up against?
I would imagine in totality before this, they were probably close to like 100 or so.
So you think there's still going to be like 70 versus...
I think there's still a majority that we haven't seen.
And Alexandria is like probably in the 30 to 40 range.
30 to 50
30
somewhere.
30 to 50, yeah. And it's funny, on the chat, everyone keeps saying, who the hell is Negan? Where the hell is Negan?
So should we get into that? Like,
well, it's a little tough because they have actually referenced Negan a number of times on the show now. Mm-hmm. So they're actually... We're not doing any kind of spoiler stuff. And at this point, this will be another very soft spoiler. Very soft.
But there has been casting.
But there has been a casting choice for Negan. It was quite a while. It was a while ago.
Yep.
So if you don't want to know, if you want to be totally surprised by it, just tune out for 30 seconds. But the character of Negan, who is a big bad guy, was cast as Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I'm so excited about that. I was a fan of him on Supernatural.
Yeah.
I mean,
great actor. Anybody ever saw the Watchmen movie?
Watchmen,
he played the comedian.
Yeah.
So,
Grey's Anatomy, he's got a long...
He's really good at being like a total prick character, which is why I'm excited for
it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to play off of the way he played the dad on Supernatural, too.
I was going to go off of how he played the comedian, because the comedian is like one of my favorite characters in comics because he was a good guy, but he was an utter piece of crap.
Yeah, always, always. So, if you have this big casting choice...
Sorry, somebody... we have a few people that are saying between 23 and 28 last week, and then somebody else, Watt Samus, said 27 last week. So, yeah, we're pretty close with our...
We're getting in the 40s, it sounds like, yeah.
Yep.
Or in the high 30s, is what I mean to say. But so, if you have this big casting choice, we all predict it, but I mean, with no information aside from just like source material and what we've heard, we're assuming Negan will be a big character in the show.
Yeah, I think that's at least the first half of the next season, if not the entire whole next season.
I'm guessing.
Well, there's an interesting little plot here that Melker Mangubat might have said. He said that maybe Negan is a religion.
I mean, they could change anything they want.
That would be an interesting twist.
And they're a cult, from what we can gather thus far.
Because they all said tonight, we're all Negan, you know? Mm. And that could be interesting. I didn't think of it that way.
Also, but is that a protocol? Like, so the way I'm thinking about it is, once they hear over the radio this protocol is in effect and stuff like that, you don't want to let out too much information for somebody who's probably going to torture or kill you.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you have to protect yourself in a torture situation, you all have a universal answer.
Right.
So is that just their way of trying to make it look like there is no main leader?
Right.
Because then you lull people into a false sense of security. They don't have enough information. It's kind of just a... a tactic that, you know, if somebody is in the army, like they say, I don't know anything, at least you're giving an answer as opposed to.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I guess with what we expect to see coming soon with Jeffrey Dean Morgan and all that and Negan, I mean, how long is it going to take us? We still all are in total agreement that it's the last episode is the first time we've
seen
it.
I think it's going to be the last
Absolutely.
Episode. Yeah.
What are we going to do for three episodes? I mean, at this point, they've killed zero of them. So when the bloodbath happens, you have to assume a large number of Alexandrians are going to die. Like so everyone's going to live to the last episode?
I think next week is a calm down episode. Like, we've had just some major, major stuff happening already. They still have to go back to Hilltop and just talk about what has happened and everything like that. So I think there needs to be the calm down. Everybody gets to relax a little bit before everything hits the fan. So that's at least one episode. I'm not sure for the second to last episode, and I think the last episode is, you know, maybe there's a teaser at the end of the second to last episode where you see like the boot or the bat or something like that, and then you know the entire full episode is dedicated to Negan. That's just my thoughts.
You're saying the second to last one or the last one?
I'm saying the second to last one. At the end of that episode, you get some teaser for the actual person of Negan.
Do you think there's any possibility that the teaser happens at the end of the last episode? Like, I pick you, and then...
I would be so mad. Like, I feel like
that's the way it might go, honestly.
You guys are going to ask me to leave the studio for watching when that happens.
I think it would be...
All the other after shows are going to be mad at me.
I think it would be too big of a slap in the face if they did that.
I agree.
I don't think they can. There's so much build up to a character. I mean, we haven't had any kind of a storyline like this as big, and even Terminus was a smaller storyline than this, really. But I mean, that was, speaking of Terminus and getting to the subject of just brutal, brutal murder on the show now.
Yep.
I remember when they got the cannibals in the church and how ruthlessly they murdered them.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the first time in the show where I was like, this is total, like, you know how traditionally in movies, you know, the bad guy and the good guy face off, and the bad guy talks too long when he's got the good guy chained up, the good guy escapes and all that.
Yeah.
Like, that was what was happening. And when they finally got the bad guys in the church, they just murdered them. They didn't listen. They just killed them all.
Right.
And it seems like more and more that's what's starting to happen to these characters, is they're getting away from the whole give the bad guy a time to get away.
Well, the monologue doesn't mean anything. Just off them.
Yeah, and that's what happened. I mean, like, you know, when Rick is like, I'm sorry I had to come to this. You're not giving us any information. Your people are gone. All right, we'll just shoot you.
Yeah.
Right? You're just dead. Carol, just shoot you in the head, Shell. Like, it's gnarly. I mean, in the kill room scene you mentioned.
The kill room.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know. Carol and
Shell, like, that was in a fight-ish scene, so that had to happen quickly.
Yeah.
Rick's thing, like, that was just basically him saying, look, we gave you enough opportunities, we're not screwing around here.
And you wonder, even if he had given them all the information, and then his friends died, and he was of no more use.
They still would have done it.
They still would have done it. But, you know, what's also interesting to me is we really see the differences of the group. So Negan's group and Rick's group, I felt like even tonight watching Negan's group that it was very dysfunctional, you know, a lot of inner turmoil, where Rick's group, the solid people in Rick's group, not the extras who come on board, you know, later on.
The red shirts.
The red shirts, right. But everyone else who's the primary group people are they work well together. You know, it's a great leadership and everyone has a role. But I felt like with Negan's group, it's inner turmoil, you know?
Yeah, they don't seem as well organized.
They don't seem well organized at all.
The last thing I want to talk about before we get to predictions is the hug at the end between Carol and Daryl. Because it was tiny, but we mentioned before how that was a storyline before, and it just seemed to, like, kind of evaporate at one point. We really didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. It used to be something that I used to concentrate on for the show. I just don't think it's happening anymore, just because now with Tobin, you know, it just... I just don't see anything with Daryl and Carol anymore.
Well, agreed, but you're also talking about the possibility of, I think, really, like, there was something there, whatever it was. What if, with Tobin in the picture, Daryl gets kind of jealous or something? I don't think they're going to play that soap opera storyline.
No, I don't think they will.
It's possible.
It'd be interesting to see, but I don't know.
You guys, eyebrows didn't raise in that hug at all? Nothing?
Nah, I noticed it, but I didn't think anything about it.
He was in the same way that if it was, like, your sister who
was in
that
scenario. He's just
happy
to see her. They've been through a lot together. He's happy to see her. Yeah. That's his ace, you know?
Live chat, anybody? What do you think? Anybody at all? Am I just way off base? I mean, I wasn't, like, totally affected by it, but they chose to have that be the character that Carol hugged.
They're arguing about who's the highest paid actor on the show, which they're saying it's Glenn, according to Duke Chronic.
It's got to be Andrew Lincoln. It has to be Andrew Lincoln.
And then they're talking about seeing the influence of Lucille already and stuff like that. So,
fair enough.
No, not a point the chat seems to care about.
They don't care about that point, apparently.
Get over it. You guys want to get predictions?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about what we think is going to happen.
That was good, man.
I just didn't know if we were going to get it. So we'll do our normal predictions, like all these soft predictions, and then we're going to give, like, the fat spoiler alert, just in case there's anything we want to talk about that has, like, direct comic book implications. All right?
Okay.
So this is the non-spoilery predictions, and then we will also read predictions off the chat, so spend the next couple minutes, guys, if you have any thoughts sharing with us.
Yeah, chat, I'll even type it in there.
Okay.
All right,
Daryl, I got one first.
All right, so I have... two predictions. My first prediction is that Father Gabriel is going to bite it. He's going to die. And I also think that we're going to lose either Carol or Daryl in the next couple of episodes.
We've been talking about Daryl for a while. Carol seems to be a little more of a hot button this week and last week. Like, that's getting talked about now.
But when they build it up like that, it sparks my curiosity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I keep putting it in my face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think... Daryl and Carol by the end of the season, one of the two of them is going. I don't think they'll do it to both, but I do think one will.
Interesting.
And like I said, I think the way that the structure of these next two episodes or the next three episodes is going to go is come down episode, ramp up episode, ends on like just a hard tease of Negan as an individual person. See the boot step out of a car, see the bat touch the ground, just something very, very specific about him.
Right.
And then final episode is kind of this very epic confrontation between the groups for the first time. Because I don't think what we've seen I'd call the epic confrontation. They've been fights and everything like that, but there's going to be the Rick and Negan face-to-face.
Yeah. My soft prediction is that the characters we have in front of us, Rick and the whole gang with the guns and all that, Maggie, Carol... will not get back to Alexandria before one major character dies. I think that they're going to go back to the hilltop first, directly from where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on the way back, all hell will break loose.
Do you think the confrontation happens at Alexandria, or do you think the confrontation happens at Hilltop? Because if you the teaser for next week, they already make it back to Alexandria.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I forgot about the teaser.
Yep.
All right, scratch that prediction. Let's get the hard predictions. Spoiler alert!
No spoiler alert.
We don't have the music?
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, Jonathan.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Boom.
Before we do that, do you want to read any of these?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talked about this with what they show with next week's episode, is that Eugene apparently looks like he has a haircut finally. So yep. The mullet hopefully will be gone. So Brandon Sinelli, you also noticed that, so shout out to you. A couple other things on here is that people are still asking a lot of things about Negan and when he's going to appear and when he's going to die. But I think he needs to appear before we worry about when he's going to die. But yeah.
Nick seems to think that Heath is going to get it.
I mean, sub-characters generally usually are fodder.
Carol. Like, Maggie is another character thrown out there, but I don't see Maggie
can't
dying.
See Maggie dying.
Yeah.
Gabriel's still alive. Morgan needs to go.
Who are you going to choose, Glenn or Carol?
Carol or Glenn will meet Lucille.
Yeah. I mean, still a lot of Glenn and Carol's.
They haven't killed off.
I don't think Glenn's going to go. I think that is too much after what we experienced the first half
of
the season.
I'm still totally convinced. They haven't killed off any, like, real number of, like, core characters in quite a while. I mean, you had, like, obviously the Andersons and a couple other characters here and there, but I do think that the end of this season is...
Somebody big has to die.
I think you're gonna clear out, like, a solid half dozen, like, sub-characters and, like, one or two main. Mm. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah. GBNF has a great one. Yeah. Jesus
dies
and comes back in three days.
That might be my favorite quote for the night.
That's by far one of my favorite comments.
And the aliens will save them, according to P. Bass. So,
well, I mean, that was always the talk when Kirkman pitched the original comic is... All of a sudden, you were going to find out that the zombies were aliens because Image originally didn't want to just do a zombie comic, and that's what he sold it on. And then they saw the success of it, and he was like, just kidding.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any spoiler-filled predictions?
I'm still sticking to the prediction I've had all season. I think they keep Glenn as the one who gets Lucille.
I'm completely agreeing with you, and nothing has made me think otherwise yet. I will buy into your logic on Carol just a little bit, but I can't see it happening.
I don't think she gets Lucille. I think she does. She will get killed sooner rather than later.
It won't be this season, though. Not if they do Glenn at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And quick question for everybody here. Brandon Sinelli asked for the After Buzzers, which season was your favorite so far? Honestly, my favorite was the year that Shane died and became a walker. That was like...
That was just the end of season two.
Season two. Season two is probably my favorite.
I would say, I mean, and this is hard to judge because it's not over, but I feel like, especially the second half of this season, has had some of the best episodes back to back to back to back. You know, I didn't love the Morgan episode, as we've talked about, but as a whole for the entire season, I would say this season is my favorite right now.
My like long form answer to that question would be recalling the first season. I love the first season for exactly what it is. I think the first season is sort of the least ambitious version of this show, but it was exactly what we needed, and it's great. If you watch the first season, it feels very different than the show ended up feeling. Mm-hmm. Two is awesome, and I agree with you, Daryl. The end of two is great.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of three into four is where it slows down for me.
Yeah. Yep.
So the first half of three is good, but the second half of three and the first half of four to me is like... When I've watched it on TV again, I get kind of tuned out. To me, my favorites are five. So, the cannibal and the retribution on the cannibal storyline was awesome.
Yeah.
The way that opens up with them, they're locked up and the throats are going to cut. They kill everyone. That's awesome. And then I think you're right. The second half of this season has been fantastic.
I'm loving it.
Those would be the two. When people say to me, I stopped watching that show, you know, I got tired of it, I always tell them, there's somewhere between three and four that it got really slow.
I agree.
And a lot of people lost interest and felt that was kind of soap opera-ish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I agree it slowed down. I still love all of it. But I always tell people, just make it through four, and I think five and six have been awesome.
Yeah.
Like, really good overall. We were talking about before the show also, I think the Glenn death, the fake death, it's not that it ruined the show. It's just that I think watching it week to week made it hard to appreciate everything else that was going on. I think going back and watching it again, you could actually probably enjoy that season, the first half of this one, a lot more than you had when you were just, is Glenn dead? Is he alive? What's going to happen?
Right. And we talked about that before we actually started shooting. I actually had a very different experience than you guys because I wasn't on that episode. I was sick. And I, of course, got spoilered by Twitter because nobody wasn't talking about that. So when I watched the episode the next night, I actually came into it with a different view, and I was waiting for the death.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like a convincing death. Whereas if you're watching it for the first time and just experiencing it, so for me, like having that hindsight already set up for me, it doesn't bother me if they go to Glenn this time.
Yeah, I think, like I said, before next season starts, I'll watch probably the whole show again because I haven't done a full catch up in a while.
A lot of people are saying season two, by
season
the way.
Season two, they are. Yeah.
Yeah, two's got some good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair
and
enough.
This season. So yep. We all are pretty much in agreement on this.
Yep. And also for anybody
so
who's
they won't
wondering,
hate us in the comments this week.
Exactly. Yay.
In case any of the fans are wondering, the show's changed showrunners a number of times. Yep. I want to say we're on our fourth showrunner now. Scott Gimple, still the current
Something
showrunner.
Something like that, yeah.
It was somewhere towards the end of four is when it changed. Right around the end of four, beginning of
it
five.
It was. You're right.
Which is why, and I think that there's a general fan consensus that the show has gotten better once Scott Gimple took over. Which yeah. I think that's why we have the better show that we have now. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, that pretty much does it for our show tonight.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful predictions and your opinions and all that.
And thank you guys for feeding us all the chat stuff so we could read it and talk about it and give some great viewpoints about the show
next
tonight.
Next week, we'll let you guys just handle it. We won't say anything.
Yeah,
we'll just read.
Let you guys. Yeah, we'll just read.
And Daryl, thank you for coming off of the couch as the social media correspondent. No problem.
I got
rejoined
some slack.
The panel.
Yeah, so I got some slack for that. Yeah. They asked me, why is the black guy on the couch? I said, I wanted to sit on the couch, by the way. The couch is more comfortable than these chairs. My chair fell down during the show today.
You got shorter during the show.
I got shorter during the show, and I'm a six foot two guy.
Six foot. You went to Canada?
6 foot two. Yes, yeah, yes, exactly. Yes.
Well, one more time, guys. Where can the folks find you? Start with you, D.
You can find me at Daryl Christian on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and also on Black Hollywood Live.
At The John Carl on Twitter and Instagram, and of course, Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube, and always in the chat here every week.
And I'm Ben Bateman. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. I do a show on the Popcorn Talk Network, which is our sister network about action movies, called Action Movie Anatomy, talking about the sweetest things of action movies. You can find that on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock streaming live. We'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.